Welcome back to Amanla African Perspective on CHRY 155 in Toronto. And I am on the line with my special guest, Morteza Korsade. And we would like today to take the opportunity to, first of all, give tribute to five Cubans that have been in the U.S. prison for some time, and who in the past have shown the world what the world solidarity means in terms of international solidarity. Recently, as part of the process of normalization of the relationship between the United States and Cuba, those five Cuban activists have been set free, and then they went back home. And to talk about the recent development in those relationships, I have my special guest today, Morteza Korsade, who is on the line with us. Can you hear me properly, brother?
Yes, I can hear you, Ahmed. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks for being with us today. So, for people who are not very familiar with the issue of the Cuban Five that the Toronto Forum on Cuba have been following very closely for us for a long time, what can you tell to the audience in terms of who they were?
Sorry, the background music is a little bit high. I don't know if my voice gets to you or not.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you properly. Yeah.
All right. The Cuban Five, as they became known internationally or are known internationally, were five Cuban agents, security agents, who were in the United States from the early 90s in order to be able to infiltrate ultra-right and terrorist organizations based in South Florida, who were planning terrorist activities against Cuba, which to this date has caused the death of 3,478 Cubans. So they were in the United States having nothing to do with the national security of the United States, or they were not spies, as some people like to call them spies, even New York Times, and they know well that they had nothing to do with the secrets or the confidential matters related to the United States government. This is not me saying that. James Clapper, who is now the national security advisor to President Barack Obama, testified during the course of the trial and stated that the Cuban Five had nothing to do with the secrets of the United States of America, but had anything and everything to do to fighting U.S.-based terrorism against Cuba.
Right. I understand that three out of the five Cuban Five were involved previously in solidarity action regarding the African continent. Since this is an African show, maybe you can give us a little bit of a background of the historical role Cuba have been playing in Africa in terms of supporting the National Liberation Movement there.
Certainly, certainly. Yes, three of the Cuban Five were in Africa fighting against the invading forces of South Africa, by attacking the newly independent Namibia and also aspirations, Angola, and also the aspirations of Namibia for independence. I was actually reading some of the reflections of Fidel Castro, on Cuba is Pan-African. And I could quote you for that. It says, "African blood flows freely through our veins. Many of ancestors came from Africa to this land. As the slaves, they struggled a great deal. They fought as members of the Liberation Army of Cuba. We are brothers and sisters of the people of Africa, and we are ready to fight on their behalf." And based on this principle, as the historical leader of the Cuban Revolution, Fidel Castro, says, you know, the Cubans had to do what they had to do based on their principles and doing what they had to do. Altogether, Cuba's internationalist forces were some 425,000 people, some 50,000 of such forces were doing civilian work in Angola and Namibia, like doctors, educators, and so on. But 375,000 of them were involved in fighting the invading forces of apartheid. And three of the Cuban Five were volunteers, actually. All these forces, all these internationalist forces, were volunteers volunteer forces who were ready to die for the liberation of Africa of the scourge of racism. In fact, Gerardo Hernandez, who was just released as the last group of the Cuban Five this past December 17, was the captain of his troops. That's why in many of our activities demanding freedom of the anti-terrorist Cuban Five, we were stating very clearly that we need the captain of our anti-apartheid troops home, so they be again in the forefront of the such a struggles around the world, like the apartheid regime of Israel. And when they came home to Cuba on December 17, every single one of them stated that we are ready to take on our new missions to defend La Patria. La Patria meaning the homeland. And when we are talking, Cubans talking about homeland, they mean the homeland that Jose Marti very clearly said, homeland is humanity, or patria es humanidad. So that's why it's a very glorious victory for the Cuban revolutions and all supporters of the Cuban revolution throughout the world, and those fighting for justice and freedom of the political prisoners of the empire.
Absolutely, that's very great. And I should mention that the international solidarity of Cuba is still going on non-stop up to today, and recently there have been some Cuban doctors that have been deployed in West African countries who have been experiencing some of the Ebola crisis, and this is very interesting, because Cuba have very limited resources in compared to a lot of other countries, but they have been consistent in terms of giving non-interested international solidarity to whoever people needs it. So, and Mother, just to close up a little bit, we have 2 minutes to go. And recently, there have been this process of normalization that has been going on, and then new development between the relationship of Cuba and the United States. What's your reading on the recent development, and expect next?
The President of the United States has said we want to have friends with Cuba, and Cuba welcomed that decision. Well, let's see what happens. We just read in the news that as of yesterday, more than $11 million publicly stated has been put at the table by the State Department of the United States government for people, individuals and organizations to take them and go to Cuba and start, quote-unquote, building democracy and human rights and civility in Cuba. And that's a smack in the face. If you are talking about full diplomatic relationships, then how can you be organizing mercenaries to bring about regime change in Cuba? Cuba right now is unchallenged when fighting Ebola in Africa. One of their actually medical workers or economists in the brigades died because acquired malaria. One of them became badly sick, but the Cubans are still at the forefront of this challenge. If you look at Haiti, you know, the Cubans not only were there before that disastrous earthquake in 2010, but they are in Haiti still. And as Raul Castro stated a few years back, so, well, we will not leave Haiti until we make sure that even that Haiti will have the kind of healthcare system that we have in Cuba. This is Cuba's internationalism. You know, what the United States government has to do first and foremost is just to do away with the illegal and criminal U.S. imposed blockade against Cuba, which has been going on officially since 1962, but as a matter of fact, since the very first day of the Cuban Revolution of January 1st, 1959. So that has to go away. Still, the Cuba intersection in the United States has no place to do its banking transactions, because no bank in the United States wants to do banking with the Cuban intersection in Washington, D.C. And as I just mentioned, day before yesterday, the news was out that millions of dollars are out by the State Department to build agents of change in Cuba. This is the practice of U.S. Government, and we shall not be naive to think that the U.S. imperialism and its allies have taken a different approach towards Cuba. Their end goal is to destroy the Cuban Revolution and bring about regime change. because they cannot stomach a small nation island setting example for humanity all around the world with its internationalism, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in education. Whether it's cooperative measures that it has taken on, like ALBA, like, you know, all such regional cooperation that Cuba is has initiated or leading. That's why I really appreciate this little bit of time that you have given me, because Friends of Cuba have to be on alert to make sure that we delve through the garbage that the control media throws around against the Cuban Revolution, against Cuba, Cuba's achievements, and to tell the truth as it is about the Cuban Revolution and defend it when we have to. That's why in Toronto Forum on Cuba, you are not going anywhere. We are celebrating January 3rd, the 56th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution at Casa Maiz on Keel and Finch on the 3rd of January. And from there on, we will have our usual forums on issues related to Cuba, whether it's the role of women in the Cuban Revolution, whether it's the victory of the Cuban Revolution against the mercenary invasion at Playa Iron in 1961, and so on and so forth.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us today, and we very appreciate your insight regarding these issues.
Thank you.
As we said, a luta continua.
Solidarity for us.
Solidarity. Thank you so much. And that was Morteza Corsade, and we've been talking about the recent development and the release of the Cuban Fives. So